I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, MMA Catholicism, Mother Mary's Army, UFC Catholicism, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. Hey, today's responsorial psalm says it all. I love getting the word of God into us. It says, I trust in the mercy of God forever. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, reporting for duty, sir. And Jesse, you nailed it when you said we're so blessed to have the word of God start our show off every single day. And these are the readings right from the gospel and for the daily mass reading. So if you're not able to get to daily mass, go ahead and just type in daily mass readings and you can do that. And Jess, I get fired up because this whole week we've been talking about spiritual warfare with the Bible, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and when people try and tell me, well, that devil, that's kind of old school. I mean, you know, we live in the 21st century. I say, what? That's not what the word of God says. So Jess, let's read, because the Gospel of Luke right now, chapter 4, verse 38 to 44, will again demonstrate the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So could you read that gospel verse for us?
You got it. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44.
Mm-hmm.
It says, after Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon.
Yeah.
Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever. The word rebuke means to cast out or to criticize, okay? And it left her. She got up and immediately waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ.
Wow.
Very interesting the way demons recognize Jesus Christ immediately who he is.
Yep.
They said, at daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him. And when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them, but he said to them, to the other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I only want to make one comment. Jesus Christ, the Bible records that he performed 27 exorcisms, on different people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So 27 times he encountered somebody who was possessed. Jesus prayed over the person, rebuked the demon in his by his authority, raised his hand up or put his hand on them, and the demons left the person's body and these people were possessed. Guess what? So if you look at Jesus Christ's fighting record against the devil, Jesus Christ has 27 wins,
knockout,
zero losses in the New Testament. How's that for how's that for a reason to follow Jesus Christ?
You got it. Jesse, before I bring Bishop Sheen into the room, I want to give a plug to your book, because that book that you came out with on spiritual warfare is the number one best-selling Catholic book on Amazon. And I want people to go to jesseromero.com to pick it up. And I want you to put this little clip in your social media and tell people to listen to Jesse Romero on Virgin Most Powerful. But Jess, tell us about your book and why'd you write it?
I wrote the book because there's a wholesale denial, Terry, of the diabolical. Even in the Catholic Church, only 17% of Catholics, according to a Georgetown University, believe in the devil. Can you believe that? 17%.
Pathetic.
And amongst our clergy, one-third of our clergy, priests and bishops, do not believe in the existence of the devil, including the top Jesuit of the world, Father Arturo Sosa.
Wow.
So I thought it was timely, Terry, to write a book talking about, first of all, the reality of the devil, based on what sacred tradition has always said in sacred scripture. But beyond that, my own experiences, I've had dozens of experiences with people that are possessed, obsessed, oppressed, house infestation.
Yep.
And I wrote about them. A lot of them happened when I was a cop.
Yep.
And I just kept, these stories into my mind, and I wrote them down. And my wife finally told me, you need to publish this because there's this wholesale denial of the diabolical, and you have all these incredible experiences that have happened to you. And I just wanted to do it to try to get men back to church.
Give us the title of the book, and can they get it from your website, Jess?
The Devil in the City of Angels. The Devil in the City of Angels. You can get it from my website, jesseromero.com. Why did I write it? I want to scare the hell out of men, Terry, so they come back to the church and fall in love with Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and the only solution against the diabolical.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, let's bring in Bishop Sheen now. Full Sheen ahead. Jess, this quote for today, I want to take heart. He says, you must remember to love people and use things rather than to love things and use people. Are you kidding me, Bishop Sheen? In our world right now, we use especially women for abusing them, children abusing them, and we don't love God. This is our culture right now, so that advice is well suited for us today. Wow. Jess Romero, today is this is the month of September. We dedicate this to Our Lady of Sorrows. Why is that, brother?
Our Lady of Sorrows, Terry, by the way, for Catholics that don't realize,
yeah.
Our Lady of Sorrows is one of the most effective titles, the most feared titles by demons.
Yep.
In fact, that's what Father Chad Ripperger has called his new order. Father Ripperger used to be an FSSP.
Yep.
And he started a new order of exorcists. That's all they do is exorcism in the Latin Mass.
Wow.
They're called the SMD, which in Latin means the Society of Our Mother of Sorrows.
Awesome.
And he says the reason, I've talked to him many times, he says the reason he picked this name, is he says that title and Virgo Potens, Virgin Most Powerful, are the most powerful titles to drive out a demon during the rite of exorcism. But why is September dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows? This tradition goes way back, as far back as the 17th century, when the Servites, their Servite priests established official feasts in September.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the centuries, we obviously know that Our Lady of Sorrows is connected directly to John chapter 19, to yep. Jesus and the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that September 14th in the Catholic Church is the exaltation of the cross of Christ.
Right.
So it only makes sense that back in the 17th century, upon further meditation, the Servites, meditating on the cross of Christ, they developed this complimentary Marian feast on September 15th. And this Marian feast, the Servites celebrated the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, which goes back to 1817. And this was extended to the entire Catholic Church's calendar by Pope Pius VII as the memorial of his sufferings in exile and captivity and of his deliverance through the Blessed Virgin's intercession. If you want to see Our Lady of Sorrows in action, watch the movie The Passion of the Christ. And that demonstrates the whole theology of Our Lady of Sorrows and the way it was in her suffering where she was most radically united to her son, Jesus Christ, in being the co-redemptrix.
Jess, great explanation. And again, all of us should have a devotion to Our Lady. And under that title, Our Lady of Sorrows. Jesse, I wanted to cover something with you that you're very well equipped because of your background as 20 years as a cop. I have something that I really want to cover well because we're talking about all these deadly shootings that are going on. One in Texas last weekend. Every weekend, it seems like something's going on. Well, in Chicago, it's every weekend. But what is going on? Is it gun control that's the answer? Or do you think maybe we have another opportunity to stop all these killings? Because out of the 27 deadliest mass shootings, interesting to find out, 26 of them, of those people who, those young men that killed the people, didn't have a father at home. So do you think maybe we should focus more on the family? I talk about it like this, restore the family and not this idea of it's gun control, we got to have these laws. No, there's a crisis in family life. And Jess, because you're a cop, you work the jails of LA County, the largest, I think, yeah, the largest group of people in jails in the country. Is that a fair statement? Is one of the larger
ones? It's the largest jail in the country.
I thought.
I've got the studies on it. I'm going to look it up during the break.
Yeah.
I actually did a study on this when I was a cop back then, and I noticed that most of the people,
yeah,
the vast majority of the population of inmates that are in jail and in prison back in California when I worked out there,
yeah,
They came from fatherless homes.
Yep.
The vast majority of people that are involved with the criminal justice system. And I'll tell you, Terry, I got two boys and a girl. My boys have clearly told me.
Yeah.
They said, "Dad, we would have ended up making some huge mistakes, and we would have got sucked up into a very dark life." You know, growing up in the barrios of San Fernando and Sylmar.
Of course.
And you know, my sons have told me.
Tell us.
You know why we didn't, you know, cross the line and make these mistakes? We were afraid of you because you were a hands-on father.
Yeah.
You put your hands on us, and you were a strict disciplinarian. And also, we loved you as well.
Yep.
And we didn't want to betray your trust, everything that you were teaching us about God and the Catholic faith. So my sons have said, hey, my daughter, they go, we feared you. So they had imperfect contrition.
That's okay.
And then they also said, but we also loved you because we saw that you really dedicated yourself to studying and teaching us the Catholic faith. And so my three young adults, they had the relationship with me as to what kept them out from the real dark side was fear of me, imperfect contrition, and love of me,
yep,
perfect contrition.
They go together, in my opinion, Jess. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the solution to our country's problem with all this violence and all these shootings. And also, I want to just give a good news story. Hong Kong withdraws extradition bill that sparks the protest. So basically, they're going to allow the residents to stay in their island when they have issues of court cases. So those people are getting what they need in Hong Kong. And I think you need to keep praying for them because the communists aren't too happy with this. We'll be back with more of Terry and Jesse on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio, talking more about mass shootings and the solution to the problem. We've got it. It's our Catholic faith. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Can you believe this? Of the 27 deadliest mass shooters,
yep,
26 of them had one thing in common. What was that? Guess what? They had no father. I'm reading from an article here by Mark Meckler. He says, he quotes actor and comedian Michael Ian Black began a series of tweets in this way that the actor said, deeper even than the gun problem is this, boys are broken.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we agree. Boys are broken. And so this actor basically, you know, kind of goes off the course in his tweet. He says, you know, here's what the actor said. Men don't have the language to understand masculinity as anything other than some version of a caveman because no language exists. The language of masculinity is hopelessly entwined with sexuality, and the language of sexuality is hopelessly entwined with power, agency, and self-worth. To step outside those norms is to take a risk most of us are afraid to take. As a result, a lot of guys spend their lives terrified. We're terrified of being viewed as something other than men. We know ourselves to be men, but we don't know how to be our whole selves. A lot of us, he goes, me included, either shut off or experience deep shame or rage or all three. Again, men are terrified. Okay, what this actor totally misses the point is he says, boys are broken. I get that. He doesn't tell them why. I'll tell you why boys are broken and men are broken. We have a fallen nature as a result of original sin. So forevermore, we're going to be dealing with our fallen nature called concupiscence. Number two, you throw the fact that most men, especially secular men, they have no formation of their moral conscience.
You got it.
Bingo. Their conscience is devoid of the word of God. So what happens? Number three, your intellect becomes darkened. What happens after your intellect becomes darkened? Your will becomes weak. Your will becomes weak. And what happens when your will is weak? You follow your base passions or your lower faculties. You follow your emotions. And this is a blueprint, a recipe for disaster. And all this comes from, in fact, I'm just pulling up another article here, which has surprised me. Terry?
Yes.
This PolitiFact, this article that's winner of a Pulitzer Prize for its accuracy, it says 90% of felons grew up in fatherless households.
I've heard that statistic.
So it's even the statistic is even larger than I thought. Here it is. 90% of jail felons grew up in fatherless households. So this actor here, he never touches. That's the root cause. He's saying, oh, men have never been taught how to be men. Okay, but he doesn't talk about the root cause. Who's supposed to teach a man how to be a man? The fathers.
Of course. And Jesse, I've got two examples of men that I know I pray with on Saturdays here at our chapel. And both of them spent many years in prison because when they were young men, they made wrong turns. And then after that first wrong turn, a lot of wrong turns followed. And so they met Jesus Christ in a personal way through prison ministry. Thanks be to God. They did their time. And one of them is wanting to be a Catholic priest today. He says, if Augustine can do, you know, all these bad things, I can be another Augustine. And why do I say this, Jesse? Because there's hope. These young men that went in and did these horrible crimes, many times, and I asked them both, where was your dad? Well, we didn't have a dad at home. We just got out on the streets when we were like little kids and joined gangs. Jesse, why do young men join gangs? Because what? They're looking for a family?
They're looking for a father.
Exactly.
They're looking for a male leader in their life.
That's it. And so bottom line, these two guys that I met, they now, at the time when they were young, they were enemies, Jesse. If they saw each other on the streets, they would shoot each other, okay? And here's the kicker on this, Jess, the grace of God. Both of those guys pray together today as committed Christians. Catholics, they're both Catholics. But you see what grace can do? But see, that gentleman from your article is not seeing, you know, original sin and what Jesus Christ can do to a person when he comes into their life.
Yeah, this actor, Michael Black, he's trying to say the right thing, but he doesn't go far enough. Because, again, he just doesn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's coming at it from his own human intellectual efforts. This section of the article is gold. It says this.
Yeah.
It says, Mr. Black, this actor, is correct that boys are broken.
Right.
But they're not broken as a result of being cavemen who haven't evolved the way women have. They're broken for another reason. They are fatherless.
Yep.
Yes, yes, and 1,000 times yes. The article says, fatherlessness is a serious problem. America's boys have come under stress for decades, and I'm going to add this myself, especially black men.
Yep, okay? That's true.
I said that's not in the article. The article says, it's not toxic masculinity hurting them. It's the fact that when they come home, there are no fathers there. Plain and simple. Add that to a bunch of horrible cultural trends, telling them that everything bad is good, like the gang culture, drugs, misogyny, using women, pornography, etc. And we've got a serious problem on our hands. Okay? This other writer, Venker, he goes on to explain that of CNN's list of the 27 deadliest mass shootings in U.S. history, only one was raised by his biological father since childhood. Only one. So indeed, there is a direct correlation between boys who grow up with absent fathers and boys who drop out of school, who drink, who do drugs, who become delinquent, and who wind up in prison, and who kill their classmates. And so this problem can't be solved by any government policy or any sort of, Democrat gun control solution.
Exactly.
In fact, when they tried to do this under Bill Clinton, violence, when he signed into law, it was the ban on assault weapons.
Yes.
During his presidency, violent crimes increased under his ban. So it was a failed policy. Terry, it's time to have a serious discussion about what the left has done to our culture.
Absolutely.
As a result of welfare.
Well, I was just
as a result
say that.
Of, yeah, as a result of welfare, Terry.
You nailed it.
Women, they've been told by the government, hey, you no longer need a husband or a father. The government will take care of you. And so this has made a lot of men irresponsible, especially in minority communities. Well, they're saying, hey, if I leave this lady with 4 or 5 kids, no problem. The government will take care of her. I'm gone. The lady down the street looks nicer and more beautiful. I'm out of here.
Jesse, you nailed it. 1964, something happened. President Johnson, he decided that we're going to take care of the families that are in need and let dad out. And that's what happened, what you just said. So many men said, look, I'm not going to stick around. The government will pay my kids rent and give them food. I don't need to be here. I can go play around. And that's really sad that that's happened. And again, I'm just going to bring the point up, Jess. You're 20 years as a policeman. You see a lot of violence as a cop. How many times do you run into a home where there's no father and there's all kinds of problems in the family? We need to restore the family. The family is broken, and the culture is saying, let's ban this gun. Let's ban this ammunition. Let's stop this. Come on. Now, the bottom line is the family is being torn apart. And so when these kids are growing up without a dad, they're just doing all kinds of horrible things. And so what we need to do is implement what St. John Paul II said back in 93 in his letter to families. The way the family goes is the way the culture goes. And so I'm just tired of this idea that, oh, we got to stop the gun control. The bad guys will still have the guns, Jesse. And then the good guys don't have them. See, I'm just being practical. Let's talk about the family.
Yeah, and Terry, and this again, this fatherlessness, this was orchestrated, as you well said, with this wrong-headed welfare system back in the 1960s.
That's right.
With Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. And this is what he called it, Terry. He called this this welfare system the war against poverty.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, this became a war. It became a war against marriage.
Yep.
Why? Because what Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society, what it did, it set up this grossly immoral system whereby millions of people were taught that they had an entitlement to pick the pockets of law-abiding citizens, tax-paying citizens like you and I.
Yep.
All they had to do was meet two conditions. If they didn't work, and if they were not married to someone who did not work, okay? Then you qualified for this free money. It's called welfare. Guess what happened? This destroyed the work ethic, and this subsidized illegitimacy. What it did by giving single moms, money and scores of benefits such as welfare, Medicaid, food stamps. This told moms, "Hey, you don't need a husband. You can do it on your own. We'll take care of you." So all these. This undermined marriage, Terry, and this started increasing all the social problems that flow from fatherless homes, especially in the ghettos and barrios. What are those problems? Drugs, wanton sexual promiscuity, suicide, runaways, high school dropouts. But I'll tell you what, the feminists, they loved all this cash that went into women's pockets. But what did it do? It deconstructed the family because these entitlements, these handouts, Terry, it required bureaucrats to raise the taxes, but it also made men irresponsible. They said, I don't have to stick around. The government's going to take care of my woman.
Yeah, well said, Jesse. And, you know, the same people who are complaining about gun control are the same ones, Jesse, I'll just be honest with you, the left, they're going to say, well, we need to give the guys on the homeless their drugs. We've got to get them needles. We've got to let them have free, you know, marijuana because, you know, they got to have the freedom to choose on, you know, having more drugs in their life. But the idea that the family is in crisis and that we need to stabilize the family, no. What they want to do is let the individuals continue to live corrupt lives so that they will have the freedom to use as much drugs as they want, have the alcohol, and we'll give them free housing. We'll never call them for accountability. And Jesse, I don't think that's love, because before I throw it to you, St. Paul said, if you don't work, you're not going to be able to eat. And so
that's right in the Bible.
It's right in the Bible. So if I sound like I'm being kind of a hardliner on this, it's because I love people. Just like you loved your kids with discipline, bring the discipline back into the family. And these kids will have more of a focus rather than just giving them what they want, which is, you know, drugs and immoral living. That's what our culture is giving our young people. We need to knock that off.
And Terry, again, this entitlement culture has made men slothful.
That's right. Lazy.
And irresponsible.
Yep.
Because, you know, programs, maybe they were in well-intentioned, but programs that were started by LBJ, this welfare, food stamps, these programs that were designed to lift Black Americans, Hispanics out of poverty, what happened? Instead, Terry, they're now mechanisms for the liberal politicians to control the Black community, to control the Hispanic community, because they're always telling them, we'll give you more money, and this is how they get their vote.
I just saw
a statistic. It's an incestuous relationship.
Absolutely. $20 billion has been spent on the poor since the 1960s, and what do we got for it? Not much. Hey, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the family.
Yeah, we'll continue on this topic.
Yeah, we're going to stay.
Large topic.
You know what? There's no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to the family. I got to say that because we have to be responsible. And this is what we're trying to do here at Virgin Most Powerful, is inspire people to do the right thing. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. 1-800-951-5151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This program is rated R, righteous, respectful, and rejuvenating.
Amen.
Some people also say it's rated PG. Praise God. And just real quick, I want to invite you this Saturday. I'm going to be speaking at pretty local here, thanks be to God, St. Juan Diego Catholic Church. It's in Chandler, Arizona. I'll be speaking at 6:30 p.m. on my new book, The Devil in the City of Angels. I'll be speaking this Saturday, September 7th, 6:30 p.m., St. Juan Diego Catholic Church, Chandler, Arizona. But the topic is The Devil in the City of Angels. I'm also looking for 50 Catholic souls to come with me May 13th to the 22nd, 2020.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a trip to Poland.
Good.
The most Catholic country in the world.
Awesome.
My spiritual director, the chaplain, will be Father Arturo Bassan. He's a young Catholic priest who's on fire. We'll be doing the daily Latin Mass for 9 days, and we'll also be doing the 6 a.m. prayers, 12 noon prayer, and 6 p.m. prayer. It's going to be a very spiritually uplifting experience. We're going to go over there and come back a lot holier because we're going to spend time in the tomb of St. John Paul II, St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Faustina, Blessed Edith Stein, and be praying for their intercession for our country and for our church.
Well, man, I'd love to go, but someone's got to watch the fort here, so I'm going to stay at home, Jess. Hey, I also want to remind you, as you know, this Saturday is the Women's Conference. I think we're going to have a full church, but I think we got a few extra seats if you want to come to this event. Father Murr's coming down from San Francisco. My wife will be there. Dr. Nicolosi will be there. We got some great, lineup. So if you want to come, just call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Also, Jesse, the Spiritual Warfare Conference, January 11th. I really want to push it hard because we outgrew our chapel of 300 people. We got a church with 1,000 seats, St. Christopher's Church in West Covina for January 11th. And Jesse, you're going to be one of the speakers, but I'm actually more excited about the new ones that are coming.
Oh, gosh.
You know, Adam Blasey, a demonologist, Louis Sandoval, a medical doctor. He's involved with healing and deliverance ministry.
Yeah, he's on the Orange County exorcism team. So he determines if people or have mental illness or possession. He's the go-to
important.
Guy.
Yeah.
High information. He's a graduate from the School of Exorcism in Mundelein and in Denver, Colorado.
Awesome.
Also, Adam Bly.
Yeah,
he's an intake specialist. He helps half a dozen exorcists over in the East Coast on the intake and from the process from the beginning to the end. So we're bringing in some alpha spiritual warrior teachers and instructors to our spiritual warfare conference and stuff. And it's just going to be getting better every year. I'm going to tell you, this conference is going to be the talk of the West Coast because we're going to be bringing in. Basically the SWAT team of the Catholic Church for spiritual warfare.
And Jesse, on our order form, you can order the spiritual warfare t-shirt with it and just go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. We got mugs. We're really pushing spiritual warfare. You know why? Because it's important today in our church. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org.
Yep. Well, going back to the topic, why is there so many mass shootings? The article that I have here is that 26 of the mass shooters out of 27 of the deadliest mass shooters in the last couple of years, 26 of them had no dad. Does that surprise you? I'll tell you what a father affords. And Dr. Bill Donahue, who's a sociologist, he's actually written about this.
Yep.
When you have a dad or when you have an intact mom and dad at home that practice their faith, a young boy is going to get a system of faith, do's and don'ts.
Yep.
Versus a broken home, a young man is not going to get a system of faith, do's and don'ts. In other words, so a young man without parents, especially a father, they're going to have no boundaries, yep. no boundaries. And the third thing a young man without a father is not going to have, if a young man doesn't bond with his family, because it's from the family that he receives love and acceptance and nurturing. That's right. and counsel from mom and dad.
Yep.
If he doesn't bond with his parents, provided that he has two parents, and if he doesn't bond with his family, which should be the domestic church, well, that's a blueprint for anarchy right there. And Bill Donahue talks about this in a book called The Catholic Advantage. He says Catholic boys have an advantage because Catholic boys with mom and dad are raised with a belief system. We call that the Catholic faith.
Yep.
Catholic boys with mom and dad are raised with bonding. There's a bond of love, just like the Trinity. The three persons are bonded in this communion of life-giving love. That's what happens in a family. Boys are bonded in this communion of love when they have a mom and dad. And the third thing that boys are going to receive from a mom and dad, especially the dad, is boundaries. The dad's going to say, you don't do this. You don't do that. Okay? Yes, this is allowed. Yes, this is permissive. No, this is not permitted. No, this is not permitted. But Terry, without the family structure,
that's right.
Boys are going to grow up what I would call low-information Catholics, and they're going to be low-hanging fruit for demons. And what do demons do? We know they do. The ordinary activity of a demon is to tempt us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, guess what? If you have no formation of conscience, no boundaries, yep, and no love, no bonding at home, guess what? You're going to be tempted by the diabolical and you're going to give in. You're going to consent to the temptation, and that temptation may spur you to violence.
And that's one of the reasons why, Jesse, when I grew up as a child, my dad took us all as a family to confession once a month. And my dad gave an example that we're all sinners and that this is what we do as the barbers. And he also mentioned something that I passed on to my kids. I took my kids to do the same thing. But Jesse, you mentioned it earlier in the show, the honor of the name of the Romero family. You see, I mentioned the barber family name, the good name. You cannot do something bad to mess up our name. And so they had to have an idea that they had to be good because this is what we expected. We told them what we expected. We gave them the ground rules and said, this is how it works. But you see, Jess, when dad's not there to tell them the ground rules of the discipline and telling them that you want to be successful in life and you want to be a good ball player, you want to do this, you want to go to, you got to get up at the same time, you got to do this, say your prayers, you go to confession, you pray your rosary, you discipline, you have a disciplined life. And this is what our world is not getting right now. Discipline has been thrown out. You know what replaces discipline? Whatever. And Jess, I'm saddened to say this, but I think this is going to even affect the structure of our country, because the young men that are coming up today who don't have a father, you really think they would even fight for their faith or for their country? Many of them would say, let's bring socialism. As a matter of fact, Jess, statistically, the majority of this young generation right now, they're open to socialism. You know why? Because they're lazy.
Yeah, and why is that? Again, no father at home to demonstrate what it means to have work ethic.
You got it.
Because all of this is modeled. See, this is why, I'll be honest with you, this is why a lot of people make excuses. They say, I don't want to follow God. I don't want to be a Catholic Christian. I don't want to follow Jesus. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because to be a disciple requires what? Discipline.
That's right.
And if discipline is not being modeled at home by a father who gets up every day and grinds it out at work and lives the life of a Catholic man and models that at home, well, guess what, Terry? If that's not modeled,
nope,
a lot of these young guys grow up and stuff, and they look at the neighborhood tough guy and they say, well, you know what? I don't have a father at home.
I want to be like him.
Or I have a deadbeat father who's in prison right now.
Yep.
You know, what does it mean to be a man? They look at the neighborhood tough guy, and guess what? That's their
model.
That becomes their model.
Yep.
That becomes, for them, what it means to be a man. Terry, here's also another thing.
Yes.
That I've noticed with all these shooters. All these shooters, when you read about their interviews with the police or mm-hmm. the court documents, all of them are always saying this: I heard a voice. This voice was telling me to kill people. Some of them will even go a little bit further. Some of them will say a demon. Some of them will say Satan, okay? And so that's another common similarity between all these shooters. They all hear a voice. Some of them say it's a demon. Some say it's the devil. Well, I could tell you this, okay? Number one, they're all living in mortal sin. And so, yeah, they are definitely opening themselves up to diabolical suggestion, to what Deborah Lipsky calls diabolical thought tampering. And yes, demons attack your thoughts. And so when they say this, and I read these articles, I'm not like the average American says, oh, they're crazy. These guys are crazy. I'm saying, no, they're not. These guys are communicating. A demon is communicating with them why they live in mortal sin. They have no protection from the diabolical if you live in mortal sin. And so as a result of that, what's a sin? Okay, here's the theology of Catholicism. Temptation is not a sin. If you're tempted to kill somebody, it's not a sin. What's the sin? When you consent. It's called the consent, Thomas Aquinas says, to the temptation. Now that's a sin. And of course, the consent usually leads to the action. But once you consent in your mind, now you entered into a sin. The temptation's not a sin. Temptation to do an act of violence, right. It's the consent to the temptation. That's where you fall into sin. Who tempts you? The demon. Now, your free will can say yes or no.
That's right.
But if you're in mortal sin and if you don't have sanctifying grace in the soul, that's where these young guys consent to the temptation and follow up on it. Bingo, we got mass shooters.
And just to follow up on that, the gentleman that just did the mass shooting in East Texas last weekend, his sister committed suicide, we found out yesterday. Also, when they went into his home, they found all kinds of pornography, not to my surprise. Jesse, I have to say this, that when the demon gets into people to do these things, do you notice that pornography, immoral living all fall in place? It's not like somebody who's just a clean living kid who just had a bad day. These people have been deeped in sin. And so this is just normal. So that's why I want to go back again to say, look, it's the family. Stop talking about all these other things about gun control and this and that. Let's talk about family control. Let's get mom and dad on the same page so that children can live in a family. That's my take. Hey, Jess,
Terry, even the Dayton, Ohio shooter, I just pulled up the article. He said that he heard voices, and his girlfriend said that he was tormented by dark shadows at night. He couldn't sleep, which eventually caused him to start killing people.
Wow.
And he was told this by this voice at night.
No surprise. When we come back, we've got explosive proof against the gay gene theory. What is all that about? You'll find out. Science has proven that science telling us that there's no gay gene. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. Everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
many
it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Thanks for joining us. You know, we always say we're too inspired to be tired, too protected to be dejected, and too renewed to be subdued here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We've got several people on hold, Pamela and then Gil. Pamela in Washington, you want to weigh in on the topic? Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Well, hi.
Hi, Pamela.
One topic I might have something to say on.
Good, I'm all ears.
Well, I'm 64 mm-hmm. years old, and when I was 21 years old, I obtained a federal firearms license as a dealer, mm-hmm. and I had it for 10 years. I also, in the early 80s, after I obtained that, I was in my mid-20s, started a business called Institute of Firearms Training, actually in Seattle at the time. Mm-hmm. No one was really doing that type of activity, and I hired some marksmen that were, some of them were still active duty, military. My primary client was females,
okay.
who felt that they needed to have a method of protecting themselves when they had to travel alone, et cetera.
Sure.
And so I helped them also purchase the appropriate gun or mm-hmm. guns. There's certain things that I've just noticed since the last 40 years. Maybe my perspective is just a little longer than some of your listeners or mm-hmm. whatever. And by the way, I love your show and I'm going to start financially supporting you.
Oh, thank you, Pamela.
I mean, January.
God love you.
I'm on Social Security. I'm a widow. So my
God
money has to be budgeted.
Sure. No, I understand.
But I want to share that I am the mother of 7 children. I'm the grandmother of 14, and I have a great grandchild. So I have like concerns for their safety, of course.
Absolutely.
But the issue that I've noticed is just the increase of the misuse of firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's increased dramatically in 40 years. There were probably more firearms available to more people 40 years ago than there are today. What I mean is their laws were less rigid.
Sure.
People were buying firearms from private parties more mm-hmm. easily. State laws have tightened up on that.
Yes.
Federal law hasn't really tightened up on the person-to-person sales of firearms. I put on gun shows in Oregon in the late 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people I associated were FFL license holders. Some of them had a retail location. I did up through 1987 mm-hmm. for about 2 years in Oregon, although I've lived in Washington, Oregon primarily.
So, Pam, let me jump in. Pam, why do you think since you're involved in this business, why do you think the question is we want to answer from a faith point of view, why is there an increase in gun violence? What say you?
Well, I do believe it's a cultural change that's occurred, and it comes down to a lot of families not having two parents
mm-hmm.
or extended grandparents available. People
Bingo.
Change their residences like every 9 years. People used to be more stable and stay at their jobs longer. So like my own adult children have had to relocate. And when you lose the stability of the family, and also the schools have become very agendized, and they almost operate like nannies where parents are being literally watched. It's crazy. So everything from child protective laws have undermined authority of parents.
Yes.
Grandparents no longer have visitation rights due to a U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Wow.
Society is broken down.
Yeah, okay? You nailed it.
And when society breaks down, and it has in 2 generations, so I'm a baby boomer born in 1955, then you see a lot of issues. Also, it's we have mental health problems. Our mental health system is even worse now than it was in the 1970s.
Sure.
So people that might be mentally ill are being churned either right from hospitals to jails. They're using jails as mental health facilities.
Right.
And also they're not, for instance, the state of Washington has been audited by Medicaid for their mental hospital that the state runs due to so much corruption, malpractice, and they lost their Medicaid. So there's a lot. People want to make this simple. This is not simple. This is complex.
Yes. Pamela, I want to thank you for jumping in. And I want to also say, how in the world did you get a hold of us? Did you Google our names? How did you find out about the Virgin Most Powerful?
Okay, well, first of all, I do a lot of prayer time now, and I do a lot of YouTube time because my youngest just graduated in June in Washington State from high school, and he's at Fort Benning, Georgia, and he graduates from boot camp on
Saturday.
God bless him.
Then he had, and he's my oldest daughter went into the Army at 17,
my
and
son
became
did
an
too.
Army officer at 19, and got
awesome
airborne wings
wow
at 17.
Praise God.
So
that's
my
great
oldest daughter and my youngest son are in, are both like bookends. I 2 out of 7.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that even though my son is 18, federal law allows him, now that he's active duty, to actually carry a pistol.
Good.
Now, federal law allows active duty youth at 18 and older, if they're in the military,
yes,
to carry a pistol, irregardless of having of their age. And of course, ownership of pistols usually is you have to be 21. We have a lot of different situations.
All
there's
right
different laws. People, they're complex.
Yes, they are. Well, I just want to say thanks for joining in and pitching in on the comments. And you're welcome always to give us a call and dive in on the topics of the day. So I appreciate your call, Pamela. Okay?
I only have 2 more comments to say.
Real quick, because we're running out of time, and I got Gil on deck. Go ahead.
Okay. But I did raise my children mostly in rural areas. And
that's
I
smart
myself, just because of bears and stuff and puma in
sure
our
that's smart
community, even running around the grade school fences, we had to carry firearms to
of course
protect our children if they were out playing. Firearms are not bad. It's who gets their hands on them.
You got it.
And there's lots of reasons these happen. That's it.
All right. Hey, thanks
thank
again, Pamela. Wow. I sounds like a wonderful mama. Seven
yep
children. God love her.
Sounds like a mama bear.
You got
and,
it.
And
hey,
it all goes, Terry, it all goes back down to what we were talking about.
Yep.
Teaching kids boundaries.
Yep.
I'm sure Pamela taught her kids, these weapons are to protect yourself.
Yep.
These weapons are for hunting.
Exactly.
These weapons are for self-defense. Versus a gangbanger in Chicago or Los Angeles with no daddy and with mom working 2 jobs.
Yep.
She probably doesn't even know he has a gun that he stole from the neighborhood tough guy.
Yep.
And she doesn't talk to him about guns because she doesn't know anything about guns. And so there's no boundaries.
That's right.
So this kid watches MTV and VH1 videos all day about gang members shooting each other with these Hollywood videos and how cool and tough that looks. And guess what, Terry? That becomes his reality. That becomes his religion.
Yep.
So a lot of it is the pop culture that comes from Hollywood that teaches kids how to misuse these firearms, how cool it is to be driving by in a lowrider car and shooting your enemies. This is constantly being played in a loop, Terry, on television.
You got it. Jesse, this I don't get paid to say this, but frontsight.com is the place you and I went to with our kids for firearm safety and to how to use a firearm. And I would really recommend that if you do have guns, make sure that you're trained in safety and how to use them and when to use them. Frontsight.com is where I would recommend. Hey, we've got Gil and Covina. Gil, thanks for being patient. We want to join in on this conversation. Go ahead, Gil. Welcome.
Yeah, Terry, Jesse, thanks for having me on. Hey, you know, I just want to say, you know, being a man of prayer and responsibility is so important. And so many men out there don't really know what it means to be a man of prayer and responsibility, praying for your wife, praying for your children. Catholic Men's Fellowship is an apostolate that we have, that we do that. And we meet 3 times a week in Southern California, in the San Gabriel Valley, and all over California, inspiring men, encouraging them to be deeper followers of Christ.
Awesome.
And like I said, one of the principles is being a man of prayer and responsibility. And how do you do that? You go to Mass, you listen to your show, You go to the St. Michael's Prayer Group on Saturday.
Yes,
but you know what?
Chapel?
You
sure.
go to a meeting and fellowship with like-minded men, even
Got
if
it.
You're lost.
Makes sense.
You go and you communicate with them and you share with them and you learn these virtues.
Yep.
We're going to have a retreat this September 20th mm-hmm. to the 22nd mm-hmm. called The Free Man in Santiago Canyon. You can register at eventbrite.com.
Good.
And it's about being free and learning how to pray for your wife, for your children, and being the father that God wants
awesome.
You to be. Amen?
Awesome. Amen, Gil. Amen. Hey, Jesse, Gil, thank you for calling in, but we just forgot about our last topic of the show.
I better do it tomorrow.
Terry, oh, my gosh.
I do want to recommend that every Catholic man look into some type of Catholic men's fellowship.
Oh, important. Men's groups.
Right now, it's so important in this day and age. Let me throw some names out there.
Yeah.
You got the Catholic Men's Fellowship. You got the Brotherhood of St. Dismas.
That's right.
You got the Cursillo Men's Movement. You got the ACTS, A-C-T-S, Men's Movement. Mm-hmm. You've got the Brotherhood of St. Joseph.
Yep.
You got St. Joseph's Covenant Keepers.
Great.
You got a lot of diocesan men. Like here in Phoenix, we have the Diocesan Men's Fellowship groups. There are like 50 men's groups. The fact is there's a lot of stuff out there for Catholic men, and the Holy Spirit is inviting you to participate. Join with these guys once a week.
Absolutely.
Read God's word. Encourage each other to become holy. Pray the rosary together. Discuss about issues of faith. Pray with each other. Pray for each other. Terry, just like gang members,
yep.
they seek out bad men.
That's
cartels,
right.
terrorists, they seek out bad men for fellowship. We got to seek out good men and holy men. And this is the way we're going to turn this ship around.
Well, you're echoing St. John Bosco, who said, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So hang with men of promise. Hang with men who want to pray with you, who will frequent the sacraments, and it makes it a lot easier to live a holy life rather than living with secular humanists, because it's difficult to live your faith when you're around those kind of people. So show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. And I want to encourage you to join a men's group, especially if you're a father, because I think that'll help you be a better father in your family and a better
husband. By the way, here's just another bit of advice, since September's the month of Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yes.
And this advice comes from directly from Father Ripperger's book. He says that if you want to make a good confession, he said, pray to Our Lady of Sorrows right before you go to confession.
Ooh, that's a good
he
advice.
Says, Our Lady of Sorrows has been given the graces to reveal the root problems of your sin and to expose your sin, to let you know what they are so you can make a good confession. So when you go to confession, men, at least once a month.
That's right. You got it.
Say, Our Lady of Sorrows, reveal to me my sins and the root problems of my sins, and help me make a good confession. Amen.
Well said. And that examination of conscience, I'd also recommend to go to Fathers of Mercy. They have one right online that you can use. It'll help you prepare to make a holy confession. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in the state of grace. Let's become holy or die trying. Let's be like a lighthouse in this chaotic ocean. And let's put the spotlight of truth on this culture of death. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Get out of there as soon as possible.
And I want to thank all you monthly donors. I thank you a couple times a week because that's what pays the monthly bills. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, call 877-526-2151 or go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.